So in the final week of this campaign, we'll start to focus on likely outcomes, and most likely of all is that neither Labor nor National will get across the line on Saturday night. We'll go home waiting for a coalition deal to be struck. That looks like the way things will unfold, which is most likely different to what we've seen these past couple of years, of course, where United Act and the Maori Party are pretty much all sort of carried on with National. So how could this work? How protracted could it be? Former United Future leader Peter Dunn has been in coalition deals five times over, so he knows what he's talking about. He's with us. Good morning.
Hello, Mike.
Are you enjoying being out of it, sort of?
It's a strange feeling, I tell you, being an observer but not being a participant.
Amazing. That Damien Light did all right for your party the other night.
He's very good, and I'm very pleased with the way he's come along. I think he's got a great future.
Do you reckon there is a future for your party?
Well, that's something that obviously will become clearer after Saturday. But look, we are the classic Liberal Party of New Zealand politics. I think there's always a future for that strain. It waxes and wanes, and I think internationally at the moment, liberalism's got a bit of a bad rap, but it will come back.
Okay. So how do you do a coalition deal, and how much variables or how many variables are there, depending on whether you get on, what you want, what you're prepared to trade away?
Well, I think there's a couple of things. Firstly, what normally happens, and based in my case, what's normally happens is a phone call the day after the election from the potential Prime Minister or the Prime Minister. Then there's normally a get-together early in the week to sort of scope out what things might look like, at which point you then start to factor in other players. The negotiations are bilateral, but we've always taken the view that we don't want to agree to something to find only that the other party to the coalition has agreed to something precisely the opposite. So there's a sort of a degree of just making sure we're all working in the same lines here. I think the next phase is you then sort of sort out where, you know, what your shopping lists are, basically. The major party says these are the things we want to pursue, you know, in return for a deal. What are you interested in? And then you negotiate around those.
Yeah. Was there ever a messy time between you, the Nats, the ACT Party and the Maori Party? Because that's four, and four's got potential trouble, hasn't it?
Yeah, no, there wasn't. For the point that I made beforehand, we made it clear, certainly back in 2008, I think, the first time, that we didn't want to agree to anything to find that we'd been jumped by a contrary agreement elsewhere. At the last two elections, 11 and 14, ourselves, ACT and the Maori Party had an informal arrangement to make sure that we looked after each other in the talks, to make sure that we didn't get gazumped or, you know, I'll go with you on this, knowing that they'll cancel you out on that. So yeah, that sort of informal arrangement is quite important, because fundamentally, whether it's four parties, two or whatever, these things work on trust. And if the trust is not there, it doesn't matter what's
exactly
on the bit of paper. If the trust,
well, I was going to ask. So you look at a New Zealand First scenario, and I know you're no big fan of them, but nevertheless, they go in with a whole lot of bottom lines, a whole lot of aggro, and if it starts badly, is it almost inevitably going to end badly?
I think so. I think, and that's why I'm increasingly of the view that formal coalitions are unwise. You know, you look at what happened in Britain with the Liberal Democrats and the Conservatives, they got crushed.
Yep.
I think that the sort of arrangement we've had of confidence and supply agreements, with this freedom to be different on matters that you feel strongly about, is probably the way to go. It still is difficult for the smaller parties to get oxygen, as we've seen over the years, but I think it's better than the formal coalition where you have no room to move.
No one has prospered under MMP in a formal coalition, have they?
No, that's right. And here's the conundrum. For MMP to work, you need strong minor parties.
Yeah.
The problem is, the moment they get involved in government, which is the whole purpose of being there, they suffer. So the only strong minor parties under MMP have been those that have stayed out of office.
Exactly. But here's, say, Winston's problem, because you don't want to be out of office because you can't deliver on what you want to deliver, and the only way you deliver is to cut a deal.
Yeah. Yeah, so you cut a deal, and the moment you cut the deal, people say, well, you've sold out, you're a toady.
Yeah.
You stay on the outside, and you're irrelevant. So this is the real problem. I think, I know Helen Clark, when we were in coalition with her, was constantly saying, we've got to give you guys air. But the problem is, every time they did, they shut you down if you got too critical of them.
And, of course, they steal all your good ideas.
That's right. Anything you put up that's good is the government's credit. Yeah. Anything that you support, you know, with your sort of your nose held because you've got to, that gets through, that's your fault.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
You lose both ways.
What do you reckon is going to happen Saturday?
I think it's going to be very close. I'm watching a couple of things. I'm still not persuaded that the Greens are going to get across
the line.
Yeah. If that's the case, then I think it makes it possible, given that there might be a high waste vote, for National if it can hold its vote at about 44%,
they're home free.
To get there with the Māori Party and ACT.
Yeah, exactly. So it covers it, because the Greens, you burn off 4.9%. Top,
yep.
You'll burn off a couple.
Yep.
You're burning off 7, you're splitting 93.
That's
and
right.
They're
yeah.
home.
Yeah. Yeah. Because the irony then would be that New Zealand First, which is clearly sort of Winston's last swans, you know, last hurrah, this one, could well end up still sitting on the opposition benches and irrelevant.
Amazing, eh? Nice to catch up with you, Pete. Peter Dunn, one of the nice guys of the political game, former United Future leader, and Damien Light, if you didn't see the minor party leaders debate, he, I think it's fair to suggest, was probably the star of the show, basically coming from the fact that no one knew who he was or what he was going to say, and the fact that he could string together a couple of words and he looked like old Ryan Reynolds, you know. It all came together.
Yeah, that was going well for him. And then, unfortunately, 24 hours later, One News did a little profile piece on him, which featured him at home with his partner playing video games.
Yeah.
Which, that wasn't... To me, I thought that's not really the campaigning...
No, that is true.
...ethic that I was hoping for.
Knocking on doors, not playing the game. Fair enough, too.